Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profiles. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report, a special Christmas weekend edition as this is going live on the radio stations December 25th. I hope everybody tuning in today, tomorrow, really whenever you have a chance to listen in, I hope you all had a very Merry Christmas, a very happy holiday season, whatever you might celebrate this time of the year. Corey Fleck here along with Shadmar Quits. We are your hosts for this weekend show. We're going to be kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. We're going to be starting off with some more broad market commentary, diving into some other sectors that Jesse is noting as we head into next year, because right now it's all about looking into next year, which is a complete guessing game. What's going to happen for a wide range of question marks, but fact of the matter is it helps to look back on this year and then project into next year. Jesse, let's start off with the stock market. Heading into 2022, look, this last year, pretty darn good for the U.S. equity markets. It seemed like any time there was any sort of a sell-off, it was bought back very quickly. And, hey, look, if you were just simple buy and holder this whole year, you've done pretty darn well in those U.S. markets. Throughout the year, we did note a lot of maybe underlying weakness in terms of weak breadth and some other indicators that said, look, maybe a market correction is coming. Fact of the matter is, didn't really come at all this year, at least so far this year, but we only have another week of trading left. What's your outlook for 2022, Jesse? Is it going to be a bit more of the same?
Well, I think you make a terrific point, Corey, about, a lot going on under the surface, even while passive investors in, you know, the major indexes don't really notice it. To me, that gives them a really false sense of security right now. I think if you polled the average passive investor, they would have no idea that the average NASDAQ stock is down 40% from its high. That's amazing to me that we have stocks, you know, very near all-time highs, and the average NASDAQ stock is down 40% already. To me, you know, it's one of the things I've been paying very close attention to is breadth, because risk appetites are probably the most important thing any, you know, macro investor in the stock market can pay attention to right now, because stocks go up when people are risk on, they go off. They go down when people go risk off. And to me, we're seeing a big risk off sign lately with a lot of these most popular stocks in the market really tanking. And I did an interesting interview with Jim Stack over the summer where he talked about these meme stocks can be a really important canary in the coal mine of the broad stock market in terms of this risk taking, that as long as they're doing okay, that overall risk appetite is okay. And investors are still kind of in a risk on mindset. But as soon as investors start shunning risk, and you'll see it first in these highest beta names in these meme stocks, as soon as these things start rolling over, that is a big warning sign for risk appetites in a broad sense. And that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of these things just get absolutely annihilated. Stocks that are down 60, 70, 80% in a short period of time, that were speculative favorites, you know, very, very recently. So to me, I think what's going on with the stock market right now is, we have a lot of this shift under the surface that's showing up in breadth indicators. It's in the midst of a broader context too, where I do believe I've written over the last few months that we're probably going to see an earnings recession next year. So to just look at the fundamentals, right? Valuations on the equity market are the highest they've ever been. We're more overvalued than we were at the peak in 2000 and even at the 1929 stock market peak. And at the same time, those fundamentals are poised to roll over. It's not just the broad stock market; it's the biggest stocks in the market too. But when you look back at periods where you've had rising interest rates, rising oil prices, and a strong dollar, that usually precedes an earnings decline. And that's exactly what we've seen over the past 12 to 18 months. And so very likely we're going to see an earnings recession next year. But as I mentioned, the FANG stocks too, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Google are the five that I'm referring to, are now today trading at their highest aggregate price-to-sales ratio in their collective history. They together trade about 7 times sales. If you put all their sales together, total market cap together, you know, in the past they've traded, you know, 4, 4.5 times sales, but they've had a huge surge in revenue growth through the pandemic, and that's led to not only their fundamentals going up, but the valuation on those going up to a record high. But next year, even for these stocks, it's amazing to see their revenue growth. Their aggregate revenue growth hit a peak of 40% there in late 2020, early 21, which is astounding off such a massive base. And that's why investors have just loved these stocks and poured money into the ETFs, the QQQs and SPYs. But revenue growth as a group is supposed to fall below 10%. Next year. And actually for Apple, it's going to turn negative, the biggest company in the group. So it's hard for me to see the valuations of these things staying this elevated, even as their fundamentals deteriorate so rapidly. And there's one other indicator I'd point to. I call this my economic predictors index, which kind of validates these ideas about slowing and falling revenue and earnings. And it's basically, this is just made up of the most sensitive, economically sensitive sectors in the market, their relative performance, things like retail, materials, industrials. And when these things are leading, that's a really good indicator for the economy and for the stock market. But their relative performance peaked back in May, June, and they've been making lower lows ever since relative to the market. So that, to me, is a very clear warning sign that the economy and fundamentals, earnings, and things are probably going to disappoint in the quarters ahead.
Well, Jesse, you've laid out a number of key threads that all tie together there, from the market breadth, and we had mentioned in our last interview some of the Hindenburg warnings, like 13 or 14 this year. You've talked about the FANG stocks and their overvaluation, the meme stocks and like the kind of the retail craze into that speculative fervor. But you also had a couple interesting pieces out recently, one titled When the Smart Money Says Sold to You, talking about all the corporate executives and insiders selling at a record pace. At the same time, you also put out a recent article, The Small Business Message for the Markets, about how small businesses are seeing all that inflation show up in their businesses. So just weave this all together, and what do you think the macro trend is going to be for next year in 2022 then?
Well, I'm glad you brought that post up, Chad, because small businesses right now are saying that their profits are going to suffer next year. They're saying, you know, basically due to rising costs, rising inflation, rising wage pressures, that we're probably going to see profit margins for the entire corporate sector come under pressure next year. So that's another validating signal. But also, there's another piece that I wrote about insider selling, and we've seen over $69 billion of corporate insider sales this year, which is by far and away a record. And when you put that, I like to try and normalize that by putting together the sell-to-buy ratio. And the sell-to-buy ratio was, you know, at the bottom of the COVID crash, in March of 2020, it went under 10, which is a very low rating. You had only 10 times sales to buys. And that is usually kind of signal you see at major bottoms. We saw that again in early 2016 at that major low for the stock market. But since then, we've seen insider selling just ramp up massively in the last 18 to 20 months. And that ratio went over 30, which is the highest I've ever seen. And that's essentially insiders are selling not just record dollar amounts, but they're selling in record amounts relative to the insiders that are buying. This ratio has a very strong negative correlation with forward returns in the stock market and the future economic performance. So when insider selling is huge, stock market returns are poor, relatively poor, and so is economic activity.
All right, Jesse, I'm going to have to cut you off there. We are out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're having you back on next segment, so everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, just circling back around to U.S. equity markets, I feel like whenever we talk about the U.S. markets, we do need to discuss the high-flying stocks. So these big-name tech companies were performing very well for about the first three quarters of this year.
But we've seen some weakness in some of these stocks. Not crashing by any means, and some of the high-flying stocks are still doing decently. Fact of the matter is these have corrected a little bit, showed a little bit of weakness. What's your assessment of the overall health of these high-flying tech stocks?
Well, I think, you know, there's two different things to discuss here, right? There's the high-flying tech that are kind of more in the small cap sector or mid cap sector. And these are the ones that are getting absolutely annihilated right now. It's only the mega cap tech that's held up relatively well over the past couple of months. And as I mentioned before, these stocks are going to see revenue growth. I it's hard to use the term collapse because, but I mean, when you see revenues grow from 40% year over year to down to less than 10, we're going to see maybe 7-8% revenue growth for these stocks. That is a significant shift, and it's going to have to be reflected in valuations. And so I think while mega cap tech has held up relatively well, it probably is not going to be able to maintain that over the next couple of quarters. I mean, we're seeing a lot of these companies, and I mean, Apple said, you know, iPhone sales could disappoint, and they're having difficulties. And it's amazing to me that stock still trades at record valuations. But I guess the final thing we haven't really discussed is the macro side of this too. What's really driven a lot of these flows into the stock market is the money printing from the Fed that has supported fiscal policy that's put money directly into people's pockets. That money has flowed directly into the stock market. You can look at this, excess liquidity and stocks really move hand in hand. Excess liquidity, leads the stock market by about a year. And I in terms of excess liquidity, it's basically just the change in M2 less the change in GDP. So when M2 is growing faster than GDP, you have a great deal of excess liquidity that pushes stock prices higher. When M2 grows slower than the economy, that's a negative or a reduction of liquidity, and that's not good for stocks. And we've already seen M2 growth fall below GDP growth in the last several quarters, which is already a reduction in excess liquidity, which should be bearish for the stock market over the next several quarters. But you pair that with the Federal Reserve, who's now under a great deal of pressure to not just taper quicker, but start raising interest rates. You're hearing a lot of Fed heads say, you know, the March meeting is a live meeting for rate hikes. And so, you know, you have the macro, the sentiment, technical, you know, warning signs of breath like this paired with the Federal Reserve and the macro side of these things really starting to turn bearish. To me, it's just puts together an overall sign of, it is time to keep your eyes open and be very concerned about, you know, just the overall direction, the trend in the stock market right now.
Well, Jesse, it sounds like after a year where really growth and those tech stocks being a big part of that and the Cathie Woods, ARK Innovations and all of that interest, Tesla, high flying, that maybe you're seeing more of a shift out of growth moving into next year and back into value from a macro theme. Is that the way you're looking at it?
Well, it's really reminiscent to me of the 2000 stock market top when for those last few years, whatever it was, 96, 97, 98, 99, value stocks just started going down and then went, you know, it kind of accelerated to the downside as a lot of the most popular dot-com stocks just accelerated to the upside into the March of 2000 peak. And then when the NASDAQ bubble really peaked in it was March 9th of 2000 or somewhere around that time frame, the bottom for value stocks was formed. And as soon as NASDAQ stocks started rolling over, there were stocks that were so cheap, they just, I mean, doubled and tripled in a matter of months. And that was a real important shift where investors realized, okay, this game, the greater fool game with NASDAQ is over. And I think the smart money, began to shift into value. Right now, today, it's astounding to me to see value just generally, the relative PE of value, the price-to-earnings ratio relative to growth, has never been cheaper. In other words, you know, value stocks are cheaper relative to growth than they've ever been. Now, that says a lot about the overvaluation of growth stocks. It might say more about the overvaluation of growth than the undervaluation of value. But when you look at, you know, what is it in the value category, you know, it's amazing to me to see it's really just made up of the best inflation protection the stock market has to offer. It's material stocks, it's mining stocks, it's energy stocks. And energy, to me, is the most compelling right now. And a lot of this is just, you know, due to ESG mandates where investors have said, you know what, I don't want to own fossil fuels. And so just from a systematic standpoint, we're not going to own these things, no matter how cheap they get, no matter how attractive they are. And so I think there is a terrific opportunity today for investors to focus on these areas, because today the consensus is, and Jay Powell has said, inflation is not transitory. We really need to start addressing this, and there's a ton of political pressure for them to do so. But investors haven't gotten the message. Investors are still positioned as if they're betting, you know, everything. They're all in on the transitory trade, that we're going to own growth stocks, and we're going to be crowded into these things that really are hurt most by rising inflation, and we're going to avoid all the stocks in the market that offer the best inflation protection out there. And so I do think if this next year we see kind of an epiphany on the part of investors where they realize, wait a second, inflation's not going away. The Fed is still so far behind the curve that they're not doing anything to really address inflation at this point. Then, you know, when they're forced to continue to tighten and things, you know, a lot of these expensive growth stocks are going to continue to implode, or it's going to reach the big boys who have been kind of insulated until now. And then the stocks that, you know, that are incredibly cheap today and offer terrific inflation protection, and they're so illiquid too. I mean, they're going to have to go up 2, 3, 4 fold if investors do decide to transition from growth to value.
All right, guys, that will wrap us up for this second segment on the Weekend Edition. But for everybody listening on the radio, if you want to hear this full interview and we continue to chat with Jesse for another 5 to 10 minutes diving into some of the commodities, including energy and precious metals, you can visit our website, kereport.com, click on that Weekend Show posting, and listen to the full first two segments with Jesse Felder. Same goes for the next few segments as well. We always do record a bit longer for our website and podcast, and then due to radio restrictions, tighten those segments up for all of you listening on the radio. But hey, again, if you want to hear that full segment, visit our website, click on that Weekend Show posting. Everyone stick around, we're going to be right back with a bit more of a focus on the precious metals.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Cuore della notte, il segno di speranza. Oggi l'amore che muove il sole.
That's Pope Francis giving his Christmas Day message in Rome today, in which he says only dialogue between people and nations will solve the world's biggest problems. The Pope highlighting several conflicts, including tensions and crises in Syria, Yemen, Israel, the Palestinian territories, and Afghanistan in particular. Meanwhile, at New York St. Patrick's Cathedral, crowds turned out for midnight mass despite the surge in COVID-19. Meanwhile, the nation is facing some record warmth on this Christmas Day in the central U.S. and on the West Coast. Flash flood warnings and some other weather advisories are also in effect. And this is USA Radio News. The biggest space telescope ever constructed has gone into space this morning. It's now being launched into orbit after the James Webb Space Telescope launched at 7:20 a.m. Eastern Time, but it launched from Europe's spaceport in French Guiana. That liftoff streamed on NASA's website and TV channel. That telescope is going to explore the universe for exoplanets and also study their atmospheres. It could potentially uncover evidence of life outside Earth. A Carnival cruise ship has been denied entry into Aruba because of COVID-19 concerns. The company saying the ship Freedom was denied entry to dock at the ports of Aruba and Bonaire, located near the northern coast of Venezuela. The company says some on board the Freedom, without specifying how many, are in isolation after testing positive for COVID-19. Find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. We talked about a lot of different markets and some of the key drivers into next year. For these next two segments to wrap up this weekend show, this Christmas edition, we are going to be focusing a bit more on the resource sector. We're starting that with Jayant Bhandari, private investor and consultant to a lot of the big money players in the resource sector. Jayant, before we get into some of the stocks and some of your due diligence recently, I want to just recap this year for precious metals. Gold is only down about 6% this whole year. Boy, oh boy, it feels like it's down 20, 30, even 40% with just how bad the sentiment is. Silver also down 16%, which that is a bit more, but again, it really feels like the precious metals have been left behind and they were down a lot more, but hey, those are the year-to-date numbers that we are seeing as we are recording this about halfway through the day on Wednesday. Jayant, what's your outlook for next year? As I mentioned, this year, it was pretty depressing for a lot of the precious metals investors. Do you think that we are in a prolonged consolidation correction, or is 2022 going to put a bit more life into the sector?
Oh, I think there will be more life in the sector early next year. And the reason is, Corey, you rightly explained why, which is that while gold price has fallen a bit, some of the stocks have fallen a lot more than this 6 or 16% that you talked respectively about gold and silver. So I think precious metal stocks have fallen too much. And also what we have right now is tax loss selling, and the companies that might need cash in the near future are likely suffering because markets fear that they might not be able to raise money easily over the next few months. But I think those who invest this month over the next few days should make some good profit over the next 1 month or so.
John, what do you see as some of the key catalysts or the narrative behind a rebound coming for the precious metals?
I think the biggest thing is that we have tax loss selling happening right now. Once this is over, a rebound should happen early next year. And a lot of astute investors who understand what happens during the tax loss selling actually make good amount of money between December and January. And I think people should take into account, they probably want to go to the charts of individual companies and look at companies that might have fallen a lot over since January. And if they have fallen a lot over the last 1 year or 2 years, then people might just be selling those shares to book their tax losses. And that is an opportunity for new investors.
Yeah, John, we typically see this pattern, or at least we have for many years, where there's that tax loss selling, and then there's what we call the Q1 run, where things pick up in January and February. This year we just had was a little strange in that the gold stocks didn't have that big of a run. They kind of petered out in mid-January, but we still saw that silver squeeze in the mid-February. But if you look back the last 5-6 years, people buy now, you know, the dip that happens at tax loss selling, and then they ride it up really into the PDAC, because then there's that PDAC curse where things sell off right around that conference. Do you still think we'll see that same seasonality pattern this year then?
I don't know. I think the biggest thing is going to be tax loss selling related profit that people can make over the next 1 month. What happens over the next 3 or 4 months is very difficult to predict, Shads, because there's so much of fear in the market to do with COVID. And I have to say that I'm getting a bit tired of this COVID thing. People are just too afraid of every virus. If we are afraid of everything that comes our way, then we probably should lock ourselves in our houses and not leave home.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think almost everybody's fatigued on the COVID situation. But let me just ask you this, Giant. If there was a market correction, some people are worried that, you know, that's still a potential that even just a 10 or 20% correction in the general markets, do you think that would hurt the precious metals markets much more than they already are, or do you think most of the pain is already factored in at this point?
Well, no, it will hurt the precious metals stock market, because when the general market falls, what I have seen in the past is that everything tends to fall, and that could happen even if gold and silver don't fall so much. So in a bad general market, gold and silver stocks can fall even if gold and silver by themselves don't do so badly.
That is very true. Sometimes we can see the precious metals hold a bit more steady during a market correction, but the underlying stocks can trend lower with the broad markets. Giant, look, we don't know what's going to happen next year. Hopefully next year is a better year for precious metals, and we don't exactly know what those drivers are going to be. A lot of people point to inflation, continued low interest rates, and easy money policies from central banks. We'll see if those continue into next year and if those actually help out precious metals. Let's get a bit more into the stocks, though, because even in slow or bear markets, you still can make money in the sector. You just need to be very selective and time those trades very well. You mentioned that tax loss selling has really hit a lot of different metal stocks. When you're looking into resource stocks right now, understanding that pretty much 90% of them are down for the year, what are some of the key characteristics you're looking for in stocks?
Well, Corey, I'm very value conscious. I am interested in the delta between the share price and the value per share. And the higher the upside I have in terms of value, that's what I focus on. What I usually want is the blue sky to come to me for free. I should have a reasonably assured upside based on what I already see in a stock. That's how I like to invest, because I want to protect my capital foremost compared to just trying to make a multi-bagger. If I protect my capital, I actually end up making good money on what I invest in.
Giant, do you have any specific stocks that you feel are set up in that same way right now that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, Shad, only last year I talked with you about a company called Anaconda Mining. Anaconda those days was trading around 15 to 20 cents. It went up quite a bit, and currently it's trading at about 60 cents. And I still think, despite the fact that it has gone up about three, four times in the last 1.5 years or 2 years, I think there is still a very good upside in Anaconda Mining. It is trading at 60 cents. They came out with a feasibility report on their Goldboro project, and the market seems not to have liked that feasibility report. To me, everything about that feasibility report is very good. Their total resources have gone up to 3 million ounces. Their grade has increased. And their feasibility report on the open pit part of the project is better than what they had in the PEA. Now, they did not do feasibility report on the underground project, which means that the total NPV is lower than what it would have been had they done feasibility report on the underground project as well. But the fact is that why would you want to do a full feasibility report on an underground project that might not come online for the next, let's say, 8 or 9 years? So the management has been correct in not doing feasibility report on the underground part of the project. But the fact remains that so far, whatever they have done makes it look better than what it was in the PEA. Market should have congratulated them for that. But instead, market did not like something about it. And the share price has fallen to 60 cents. I'm a buyer at this price.
All right, Giant, thank you for your insights today and throughout this year. It's always interesting hearing what stocks you're looking at because you really do filter through this wide range, vast amount of resource stocks and find the ones that you see have some underlying value and are getting really no love in the market. So, Giant, I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday Season. Thanks again for your time, Giant.
Merry Christmas, and thanks very much for your chat.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Everyone, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to focus on the precious metal sectors. We are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, look, we were chatting off mic about what is there to talk about in this sector, and we were looking at the gold price, and surprise, surprise, gold is right at 1800. I don't know how many times we outlined that gold has been at 1800 this year, but it really has just moved a little bit higher, a little bit lower, right around that 1800 level. The problem is, at least for the sector right now, is that the stocks are down at are testing some near-term breakdown levels. As I look at GDX, GDX is right around 30 right now, but the real hard support level is just above 28. So that's less than 10% lower. There's a lot of moving averages that are coming in right around that 28 to 30 level. So the stocks are trading like gold should be, maybe down around that 1670 level. But again, gold is well over $100 higher than that. Jordan, what's your takeaway from the stocks at least holding these breakdown levels, but being much, much weaker than the underlying metal?
Well, Corey, they were oversold last week. My custom breadth readings for the stocks were in single digits as far as a percentage that closed above the 20-day and the 50-day. So when those get to single digits, usually there's a rally. So I think we're seeing an oversold bounce. And my immediate question is, will this bounce fade sooner rather than later? Or will the bounce extend into January and we get that token January bounce coming out of the bad year that we've seen so many times in precious metals? But with respect to gold outperforming, you know, one thing that's interesting, I forget where I got this chart, but one reason why the stocks have underperformed and why they underperform after a peak is fundamentally, if you look at, and this happened after the 2016 peak and it's happened after the 2020 peak, the reason they underperform is they're reflecting worse margins, because this chart that I have, it shows that the costs of producers, like, they're still rising. They're trending higher after the gold price has peaked. And so the gold price is not going higher, yet the costs have been going higher even after the peaks. So it's, you know, not like a revolutionary explanation. When you look at it on a chart, you realize, oh, this makes a lot of sense. So to me, that's why we're seeing the stocks underperform. Like, their margins are, you know, the costs are going up and the gold price is well below where it was at the peak. I mean, almost $300 below. But I would say with respect to, you know, the stocks reflecting 1700 gold instead of gold at 1800 where it is, I mean, that usually not always, but that usually portends to more gold weakness at some point. And I look at the, you know, I look at the technicals on gold. I look at the sentiment, the net spec position in gold. I mean, it's not at a lower extreme. I think about the Fed hiking rates. I mean, we're following the percentages every day, and those are getting higher for a sooner rather than later rate hike. And so to me, that just tells me that my bias is to the downside, at least until the Fed hikes rates. Once they hike rates, like, that's what I'm really hoping for, is to see when the Fed executes the first rate hike, that sentiment is really blown out to the downside, you know, and breadth as well, you know, long-term breadth indicators or in single digits or whatever. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, that kind of combination, because then you know after that happens, like, we can get a really good rally that won't just fizzle out after a month or two. Like, it'll continue at least for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months.
Yeah, Jordan, we've actually mentioned a couple times, I think maybe 2 weeks back, we had talked about how before a rate hiking cycle from the central banks, typically the precious metals sell down into that. But then after the rate hiking cycle starts, especially after the first hike, it's usually a bullish tailwind for the precious metals. Do you think if they announce a series of hikes, like, hey, we're going to do 3 this year and maybe 3 or 4 next year, that that's still constructive for the precious metals? Or would a series of rate hikes, not just a one-off deal, but a lot of them, would that eventually pressure the precious metals?
Well, to me, this is the real important question. I mean, it's not whether the Fed is going to hike or not, because we can look at the percentages and the market's discounting 3 hikes next year. It's really what is going to happen after they do the first hike. Are they going to be able to continue to hike like you're asking, or if they're going to have to pause because the economy slows down at some point? So it really depends on what the economic outlook is exactly. And what I mean by that is, you know, some economists are thinking we're going to slow down dramatically in the second half of next year, and that you could see growth get pretty close to zero. And so if that happens, you know, the Fed might want to get in a couple of hikes before that becomes an issue. And so if they hike a couple times and then they have to pause for quite a while, that's going to be similar to 2016. And we might get an extended rally in precious metals because of that. But, I mean, if the Fed is going to be able to hike, like you're saying, you know, 3 rate hikes the next couple of years, it's going to depend on, are we going to be in a period of inflation where inflation remains stubborn and high around, you know, 4, 5, 6%, and that's why they're hiking. You know, precious, that could still, you know, that precious metals could do really well if it's an inflation issue because they have to hike. However, if it's a disinflation issue and inflation's, you know, 3 or 4% next year, and then it comes down to 2% the year after, and there's still enough growth where they can hike rates and they don't mind, you know, about inverting the curve and, you know, hurting the stock market, that sort of thing, you would see gold and silver, they'd have the rally after the first hike, but then they'd probably fizzle out and consolidate for a while. I saw one analyst that I really respect, Barry Bannister, and he, I don't really know what his views on inflation are, but based on all the things he's looking at, you know, if inflation doesn't become an issue and we, you know, kind of go down the disinflation route, I mean, he's projecting that just a 1% Fed funds rate in the middle of 2023, that's 18 months away, just a 1% rate could be enough to push the market into a bear market. So there's, to me, it's unclear what's going to happen after they do the first hike. And that is the real question. And I mean, I think eventually, you know, eventually we're going to see something that's really bullish for gold and we'll get that big breakout. But I think it's more, that's more likely to happen in 2023. And it's just a question of, is it because the economy next, at the end of next year, is it because the economy is slowing down, to, you know, near zero, and that, lawmakers get together and they do more fiscal stimulus before the election? You know, that can be a catalyst for gold in 2023, or, Is it because, you know, inflation just remains stubbornly high? Like it remains around 4 or 5% and growth really comes down close to zero, and you know, you have the stagflation type of situation. So I know it wasn't a direct answer, but that's how I'm looking at the scenarios post the first rate hike, which is probably going to be in March or May at this point. I'd probably guess May.
Jordan, on a more short-term basis, you mentioned how the gold stocks were oversold just really a couple trading days ago, maybe about a week ago. How do you manage your portfolio after a year that was tough on a lot of these stocks and a lot of these stocks were sold off, but it does sound like you're seeing at least some short-term potential of a rebound in some of the stocks? How do you trade those using your technicals?
Well, I think what people should do, they should use a potential bounce in January. You know, it's the boomerang effect, I call it, from tax loss selling. I mean, I would use that and this general rally, if it extends into January, I would use that to reshuffle your portfolio. What I mean by that is dump the dogs, dump the laggards, you know, stocks that you bought, they're not really working out and you're just holding on to them because of hope. You know, I would use the strength to get rid of those types of positions, build some cash, and then eventually you're going to replace those with better companies.
All right, Jordan, thank you for your time today. That is wrapping up the weekend edition, this Christmas special. I hope everybody enjoyed this show. We were busy this whole week, still releasing a lot of market commentary and bringing on some pretty important company updates from this week, including Novo, Silvercrest, and even Bunker Hill Mining. Be sure to visit our website, click on those weekday show postings, and let us know what you think. Flesh at KEReport.com and chat at KEReport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you, and we hope you all have a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday Season.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit KEReport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment. You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.